Okay, friends, I don't know if you can relate, but as we start to enter into the fall season, it also feels like we're entering into the busy season. The schedules feel a little more packed, and the meetings are a little more back to back to back. And in the past, I've noticed that with that, my health and nutrition kind of takes a backseat, which is why I'm so happy to have Factors, no mess, no prep meals in my back pocket. I always know that I can meet my wellness goals with Factor, with their chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto, because Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy I am, I always have time to enjoy those nutritious, great tasting meals that I need. So make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? Factor has 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week. You'll always have a new flavor to explore. And you can crush your wellness goals this month with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust, which is so important. So head to factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50 and use code barbknowsbest50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BARBKNOWSBEST50 at factormeals.com/BARBKNOWSBEST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast. I think when we come to a part of our lives where we feel like we've maybe lost ourselves or are disconnected from ourselves or who we are and what we want, we often tend to want to quickly fix it or put a band-aid on it and get back to quote unquote normal. But that the real lessons and the beauty come from sitting in it and letting yourself feel the feelings and the uncomfortableness that comes along with that experience. Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, your co-host, and I am so excited to be sitting here with my mom, Barbara, again this week for another episode of the show. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here as well.
I am excited for this juicy episode of the show. You know, one of the topics that we get asked about, or you get asked about a lot, is your divorce. And I know we've dabbled in aspects of dealing with divorce or managing divorce, but I had an idea about something, about an outcome of your divorce that I thought would be a good episode for today.
Oh, I'm intrigued. I can't wait.
So I believe down the line, we're going to do a whole divorce episode, like a megasode of divorce stuff.
Definitely.
But today I wanted to talk about, like I said, an after effect that comes from divorce or any sort of big change in life, I think, whether it be like just a romantic breakup, a friendship breakup, a move, losing a job. I think it's a pretty common dynamic of life and something that happens along the journey of life. And I'm really excited to hear your insights, especially as a, not to sound like I'm giving you a dig, two-time but recently divorced woman in the year of 2024.
No, I did not take it as a dig. It's true. That is a fact. And I also, I'm very excited to talk about this because it's something that happens. I love what you just framed it, not only just because of my divorce of 33 years, mm-hmm. which is a real, it's like, it took me a while to process the idea that it was most of my life, half of my life, because I'm 67. So, and also that this can be, if you haven't been divorced, it really shows up in many, many aspects of our daily life, like breakups, like major life changes, mm-hmm. I would say more than anything else. So Yeah, I'm excited to share my thoughts on it because I'm not sure that I understood. I'm not sure I would have named this during the divorce or even during the marriage. Mm-hmm. And so it's been really profound for me to name it afterwards as I've reflected back and all of the work that I've done as I've moved through the divorce. And now I'm in this new chapter of my life.
I love that. And, you know, as Dan Siegel says, name it to tame it. So we're naming it in the after effects. Yeah. So today we are talking about what does it look like and how does it feel and what is the process of coming back to yourself after, quote unquote, losing yourself. And the reason why this felt so timely for you and for many of us is because you just recently went through such a big life shift as a divorce. And it was actually, even though I'm in your life very deeply as your daughter, but also as someone who does this show and works with you and all of this stuff, I know everything about you to a degree. But when you just said it just now that you were in this marriage for half of your life, that really took me aback because I know that, but that is a significant, significant chunk, especially when you think about, okay, you have your childhood, a quarter of your life, it's with your parents. So half of your life being with this particular person in that dynamic, in that relationship, in that day-to-day life is really like just letting that sink in for me was a huge realization in and of itself. So that is what happens for many of us when we're in long-term relationships. And again, this is a topic that can be applied to anyone and it's going to come down the road too. We're going to talk about an episode of, you know, estrangement from family members and loving people from afar. But this could also be when you have a parent for your whole life and perhaps you're taking separation or a sibling that you're needing some space from if you felt too enmeshed in those dynamics. A friendship for lifelong, again, friendship breakups are a request we also get all the time too. Losing yourself in friendships, being in a job for your whole life and finally maybe making the step to take a change. Did you lose yourself in that position? There's so many aspects of life where this dynamic can come into play, but I think it's so commonly thought of in the romantic relationship sense because that plays such a huge role in our lives. And I'm so excited for you to talk about what this looked like for you in your most recent divorce.
Well, and I think too, what you're saying, Michelle, when I'm listening to you say losing yourself and losing yourself, I think you repeated that several times because that is what this episode is about. The thing that came to me immediately was like, how do you even know you're losing yourself? And I think that's what's so tricky about it. And that's what's so profound about it and why I'm so excited to discuss it today with you and with all of you listening. Because when I discover something, it's almost like it's something that I know or something that I've studied or something that I've been through before, all those things. But when I actually discover it in a new way or in a new form or in a new version of my life for me, I get so excited.
Yeah, you can hear the excitement in your voice.
I am so excited to talk about the idea of what does it mean to lose yourself? What does that even look like? How does it feel?
Yeah.
And then how do you, as you said in the very beginning of the show, how do you get back to yourself? You know, what does the journey look like to get back to yourself? And so I'm really looking forward to walking through this because I don't know. Well, let's just start.
Well, before we dive in to your experience, I just want to say to the point of an episode that we did a few weeks ago about nothing in your life is a waste of time. I think that that concept kind of goes hand in hand with today's concept of if you feel like you've quote unquote lost yourself, and we'll define that as we go along, that also comes along the feelings of wasting your time. Mm-hmm. You know, you've lost yourself in a relationship or a job or a friendship, and then you've also wasted that time in that specific thing. And so if you didn't listen to that episode, maybe listen to this episode and then go back, because as we enter into this conversation, just to remind everyone to be gentle and easy with yourself if this is something that you're going with, and to hold yourself in that self-compassion or self-forgiveness of feeling like you've wasted time or even being hard on yourself that you quote unquote let yourself lose yourself, because I think we can be hard on ourselves when we identify this pattern. And so if this resonates with you, just go into this conversation with that mindset of kindness and compassion towards yourself.
You know, Michelle, I think we say this every single episode.
For sure.
I think that's our thing. We had a listener say something to us recently. It was so precious. She said, do you know what I realize? Your whole work, the two of you together, is about self-love. How can we love ourselves more? How can we have more compassion for ourselves? How can we give ourselves grace more? How can we just be okay with who we are in the moment, knowing that we're not going to be perfect? And it's so cool because it is who we are, Michelle. Because when I think about this discussion today, yes, this is 33 years of my life. And when I think about it, if I dwelled too much on, which I did dwell more than I would have thought that I would have during this whole process of this divorce, if you end up dwelling too much and believing those negative thoughts in the mind and not having what you just said, Michelle, the compassion or the grace or the care for ourselves, we could really get stuck for an incredibly long time. And it can really do a number because this is a huge life thing. So that's why it's so important to hold ourselves with grace and compassion and care. So I say all of that to start this conversation. I didn't know that I had lost myself for 33 years. I didn't, if you would have said to me during the marriage, or if you'd have said to me, even after we separated in 2019, if you'd have said to me, wow, how's it feel to be on your own? And when most people would ask me that, I would say, you know, I feel really free. Mm-hmm. I feel really good. I feel sad. I'm confused. I don't even know what's going on, but I feel good. But I would never have said, oh, I'm so glad that I'm come back to myself, or I'm so glad that I lost myself and now I'm finding myself again. Those weren't the words or the thoughts or the feelings that I was having at the time. I was having a lot of feelings during the whole course of the 33-year marriage, but then even right after, during the separation, before the divorce, of confusion, lots of irritability. I couldn't understand why I was so short-tempered. Mm. It took a lot for me to, okay, Barb, you're being very short-tempered right now. Take a pause. All the things that I practice and that I teach, take a pause and take a deep breath. And what's happening right now? And the thing that would come up to me often was, I'm feeling very indecisive. I'm feeling irritable. I'm feeling resentful. I'm feeling all of these barrage of feelings after this whole process, or during this whole process. And I feel like I want to say so deeply right now to everyone listening, it's so normal. And if you try to put it in a box saying, oh, what's the matter with me? This is, so many people go through this, but they're doing it so much better than I did. Or, oh my gosh, Barb, you've been practicing meditation and mindfulness and all of the things for 40 years. What's up with you? Mm-hmm. You know, why is this so hard? Or just all the judgments and all the comparisons. And then I would go to try to fix it. Okay, I got to fix this. And that was partially what I think extended some of the process for me, in the thought of, 33 years, wait a minute, I got to try to fix this. So there was even a part of me, I wasn't really aware that I lost myself, but I knew that I was happier just being separated from the whole situation. But there were times when I would say, oh, you know what, just fix it. Mm-hmm. Let's just get back together and fix it.
Well, I think too, this could be a common dynamic with people, and especially if you're listening to this episode or the show, if you're someone who's interested in personal development or wellness, therapy, all of that stuff, I think we sometimes are even harder on ourselves. To your point, you've been on this path for 40 years. And I remember when you were kind of in the thick of some of these feelings, like, I've been doing this for so long, how am I not handling this in a different way? Like, you were very frustrated with yourself for feeling overwhelmed and disconnected and indecisive and short-tempered sometimes. Like, I think you held yourself to such a high standard because you have been so dedicated to your practice that you weren't necessarily holding yourself in the grace that you should have also been holding.
Well, and I think too, you're right. And I think ironically, this is in the middle of COVID. This is when the pandemic hit in 2020, moved out in 2019, pandemic hit in 2020, early 2020. It's not a lot of time to sit with myself. You know, I love sitting with myself. I love my meditation practice, but there was an extraordinary—
You also had a very sick dog too.
And I had a very sick dog. So there was an extraordinary amount of time of just being in quiet, alone by myself with my dog. And so it was a very interesting process. And as I move you all through this, what I remember the most that kept coming to me, and a lot of this is from one of my favorite teachers of all time. I think I've talked about him several times in the episodes, James Finley. I had a couple conversations with him during the pandemic and during this whole process, because he's become a very dear friend as well. And he would just, he's got such a soft-spoken, very, very connected, deep, not, yes, deep voice, but really deeply connected voice. And he would just say, remember who you are, Barb. Remember, this is hard. Just remember, just keep remembering who you are and remembering that all of this doesn't define who you are. Because that's one of his biggest teachings that I've learned from him. Mm-hmm. Nothing in the external world ever has the power to name who you are, define who you are. What your past was, what your life was, doesn't have the power to name who you are.
I love that.
And it helped me so much. And just little by little by little, I started remembering who am I and what do I really want in my life? And how am I feeling right now? How am I feeling about the idea of being separated, ultimately getting divorced? And remembering who I am and remembering that life is not perfect. So being divorced twice is not a L on your forehead, like I'm a loser
scarlet
or something,
letter.
Or a scarlet letter. And with the greatest thing I think that I learned during this whole process, but it was only more after the fact. Mm-hmm. So what I want to say, first of all, is making sure that you allow yourself the grace and the time to feel the feelings, feeling the feelings of the loss, even though it was a good thing that I'm separated. It was a good thing that I'm divorced, because it was not a marriage that was one for the, it was not one that I would want to live the rest of my life in. It was not one that was, good for me, mm-hmm. and good for anyone, really. It was very fraught with so many things that we'll talk about in the divorce episode. Because I want to stay focused on this, of how I move myself through this, and then got to the realization that, wow, I'm actually starting to come back to myself, because I started just with little bitty thoughts like remembering who I am. Because we can get so caught up in all the things that are wrong. All the things that we've done wrong, or all the things I wish I had said, or I wish that it happened this way, or why did I wait so long? Or like you said, the episode we did on, you know, nothing is ever a waste of time. Oh my gosh, 33 years. Why did I waste so much time? I'm 67 now. And what I want to say so passionately to everyone is I could not be happier today. I don't think any of that was a waste of time. I am in such a great place, and I feel like I've learned so much about me. I feel like I've learned so much about life, and I feel like I'm 20 at age 67. And it's that energy inside of me that one of the things that James Finley would say often in his talks and his workshops and the things that he believes in deeply is this idea of one of the most important things we can do in our lives is to be connected to ourselves, is to know who we are, is to cherish who we are, is to love who we are, and is to understand what we need and what is important to us, and not engage in the people-pleasing and the would-haves and the should-haves and all of those things that we do as humans. And he's so aware that we do that as humans, but he always says, you know, Barb, or when he's talking to people and in his books, remember, you don't want to live your whole life never having met the person who is living it. And profound. It almost brings me to tears every time I think of that.
That's my favorite.
And so it makes me so happy that I'm not living my whole life never having met the person who is living it. As humans, we're not perfect, and we can stray away from that from time to time, which is what happened to me. But to remember, just to come back to, wait a minute, who am I? What is it that matters most to me? What is it when I come to the very end of my life? Well, I want to say it was a life well lived. Mm-hmm. It was a life well spent. I did what I feel like I came to this earth to do, or I came to this lifetime to do. And not feeling like I was at the mercy of the external world, or at the mercy of what people might think I should be doing, or at the mercy of, oh my gosh, 33 years, just endure it till the end. Or those things that we say to ourselves that, oh, it's okay, I can handle it. Or being that kind of victim mentality person sometimes, that we all can fall into that. Poor me. Oh, I'm in this. I'm in it for the long haul. I can just put up with all of the dysfunction and all of the trauma and all of the dramatic things that happened during 33 years. It's okay. I've gone this far. You know, all those things that we say in whatever type of relationship that we've been in that puts us in that place. And so I think that really getting deeply that no matter what we've been through, especially something that's really, really, really hard, we have to take the time to go through it. And I'm so grateful that I allowed myself to do it, even though it was rough. And even though I didn't even sometimes know if I was doing the right thing because it felt so too hard. Mm-hmm. It felt like I was making it more difficult. And what was the matter with me? Why couldn't I just get over this? Why couldn't I just start to move past when I knew deep in my heart, it was the right thing for me. And so I think that that effort and that journey and the self-doubt that sometimes came along with it and all of the trials and the tribulations, I didn't fight it as much as I look back, as much as I could have, and didn't allow myself to fall deep into the hole of I'm doing the wrong thing. I never once said to myself, you're doing the wrong thing. I often said, well, just do the easier thing, Barb, and go back. Mm-hmm. And now in hindsight, that would not have been the easier thing. That would have been the harder thing. So I don't know if any of this makes any
sense
because I kind of go off in my own mindset.
It's really good. It sounds like what you're saying, I think when we come to a part of our lives where we feel like we've maybe lost ourselves or are disconnected from ourselves or who we are and what we want, we often tend to want to quickly fix it or put a band-aid on it and get back to quote unquote normal. But that the real lessons and the beauty come from sitting in it and letting yourself feel the feelings and the uncomfortableness that comes along with that experience, which is just like, you know, with any other experience in life. But I want to rewind a little bit and get your perspective on something.
Okay.
Do you think, and I was thinking about this a lot as you were talking, do you think that we can only ever really recognize or be present to the fact that we've lost ourselves or, you know, diminished our sense of self in life when we are facing a big change like divorce or like losing a job or losing a different relationship? Does that make sense? Like, it seems like, at least from my experience, I had a similar realization when I was in a really difficult breakup in my 20s. It was super codependent and I had based so much of my identity, my desires, my values on the other person and let myself kind of chameleon into that relationship. And so when that relationship ended, I had that moment of like, oh my gosh, all of this has been taken away from me. And now I'm left with so little. And I don't even know where to start because I don't know who I am and what I want and what matters to me. I don't know where I want to place my energy and my effort. I felt like a shell of myself. And it was in that space where so much was taken away that I could really finally realize it. Sure, I had some intuitive hits and insights along the way of, that's not, you know, you, but really hitting me in the face with it came when everything was stripped away. So can we notice it along the way and do something about it? Or is it truly one of those dynamics in life where it's like the dark night of the soul kind of situation where you're really stripped away in a deep feeling of change or despair or loss? And it's there where you realize truly the dynamic that's going on.
Well, that's a really good question, Michelle. And I think for the way that I would answer it for myself is I think we have episodes and situations in our lives that are to varying degrees. And I think, no, I don't think we always have to go, you know, being in recovery for bulimia for 40 years, I hadn't lost everything when I checked myself into treatment in 1984.
But you could have lost your life.
Yes, I could have. That's what I mean. The voice inside of me when I woke up one morning said, you are going to die. Mm. So, but I hadn't yet. I could have, but I hadn't.
Right,
I hadn't.
Right,
I hadn't.
Right.
When I checked myself into treatment, I wasn't an addict that was, you know, living on the streets and having lost everything. And I met so many people in treatment that had such a profound effect on me.
Like a rock bottom moment.
But it changed my life. So I would have to say I went through a lot. I've had a lot of trauma, a lot of the things that we've talked about, some of it on the show. So I don't think we can put anything in a box and say, this is the way it is. Here's the bow. This is what you have to do. I just don't believe that. And I even more so don't believe that as I've come through this difficulty of my divorce and come out the other side feeling like I could tackle anything that life had my way or comes my way. So I don't think you can put anything in a box. I think we just have to go, you know, it's so hard to put into words sometimes when I'm talking about it, when I'm actually feeling it and thinking about it. I don't want to sound so cliche as saying we just have to go with the flow. Mm-hmm. But I actually do think we have to just let life unfold in every moment that it's going to unfold when we're in these situations. And what I love about this question so much is because what stops us from moving through the difficulties, the traumas, the things in life, for me, what has not necessarily stops, but maybe slows us down, which is not a bad thing. See, none of it's a bad thing to be slowed down, to be stuck, to be stopped, to be paused, to take several years. I separated in 2019. Here it is 2024. I got divorced at the end of 2023. And I'm still talking about it because there's so many more blessings that I can count now today that I would have never called them blessings several years ago. And so I think there's almost that raw ability to be able to just be with it, which, and it sounds so crazy because in many instances, I wasn't just being with it during this whole process. But eventually I did get to that moment in times and times of being with it. And as I reflect back on it, I think we beat ourselves up and think we're not doing as good as we are, or we're not, we are so hard on ourselves. And for me, if I want to translate what you're saying, the biggest thing that so much of I've learned from this, but I would say probably one of the top three most profound things that I learned was that when we spend more time in the past and the future, when we're going through a healing process, we are then remembering situations not in the most accurate way sometimes. And so when I think about me coming back to myself and how I actually realized I had lost myself during that 33-year marriage, and there were situations where I, you know, just sucked it up, or where I did lose myself, when I think about it, it's, I would focus too much on the quote good times, mm-hmm. and not remembering the really dysfunctional, as I said, dysfunctional, traumatic times. And so I would rewrite some of the past and then make the past something that, oh, this wasn't that bad, or this was okay. And then project it into the future. It's going to get better. I can fix this. I can change this. And then I would drop into comparisons and judgments and all of the things. I don't even know if this is making any sense, but what I do know to be sure is I would focus so much on all the experiences that where I wasn't up to what I thought I should be or could be. And I forgot about who I was. I forgot about the experiences of, oh my gosh, I really love myself. I did this. I did something today that was really exceptional. And I think if we could start to focus on more of where we show up in our daily lives as confident, smart, I've got this, extraordinary, comfortable in our own skin, loving ourselves or trusting ourselves, we start to put life back into the perspective of where it needs to be. And that's how you start to come back to yourself. And that's how I started to say, wow, I kind of did lose myself because I was focusing so much on what I couldn't do and what I didn't do right and the kind of person that I thought that I should have been, instead of actually focusing on the person that I was all along. Mm. And when you put too much emphasis on what you should have been or could have been, or what you think that you did wrong, or that everything was wrong. I remember one time during all of this, I was telling you a story and you said, Mom, you were writing so many negative stories about yourself.
Yeah.
You are really being hard on yourself and writing so many negative stories. If you're going to write stories, that aren't necessarily true, write a positive story. Like, start writing good stories about yourself. And I think that was one of the turning points during all of this, where I thought, start becoming aware, Barb, of all the everyday experiences where I felt happy, or where I felt good in my body, where I felt good about myself, where I felt happy about myself, and pause there and actually dwell there and actually live there for a moment and actually relish in the fact that, wow, I'm pretty extraordinary. Because we all are extraordinary human beings. We just forget who we are. We forget we are that. And acknowledge the beautiful in yourself. Acknowledge the confidence in yourself. Acknowledge the fun that you have had in your life that we just overlook. I know I overlooked it. I overlooked all the ways that said loudly who I am and what I want for my life. And how much I've endured, but how much I've grown and gained. And so I think if we start to relate more to the positive things that we've been able to accomplish on our own in our lives, and who we are in our lives, and the difficult decisions that we made in our lives, that maybe it didn't turn out the way that we wanted it to, but we stepped up and did it. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope this whole thing is making sense. Because that's how people ask us all the time, Michelle, how do you become your own best friend? Because you talk about that a lot. And you became your own best friend through your 20, when you were in your 20s with your breakup and all the things that you've endured throughout your lifetime. We become our own best friend by remembering who we are and actually having the examples of all of the things that we have done in life that are beautiful, that are fun, that are extraordinary. We all have it. We all have it. It just gets clouded over because the bad things or the negative things or the coulda, shoulda, woulda things or all of the things that we feel like we've done wrong. And of course we've done things, we've said things that we wish we could take back. But that doesn't define who we are. And that is not the only thing that has the power to influence how we feel about ourselves. Let's bring our whole life into perspective and let's bring everything into the light and not just the terrible negative things that we feel about ourselves. I'm not talking about the things that are negative and traumatic in the relationship. I'm talking about the feelings that we have about ourselves.
With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've listened to the show, you've heard my mom and I talk about how much therapy has impacted both of our lives. We've basically been in therapy for our entire lives, but we also know how difficult it can be and feel to actually get therapy into our lives, whether it's a busy schedule or not knowing where to go or who to trust or just the financial component and commitment therapy actually is. We know it's challenging just to get started, but we also want to reiterate how beneficial therapy can be, whether working through our issues or really understanding who we are and what we want in life. as I've said, therapy is a game changer. And so if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you need to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Never skip a therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/barbknowsbest today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/barbknowsbest.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So it sounds like a way to start to identify that we might be disconnected from ourselves is the dynamic of starting to attach your worthiness or your success or your how you view yourself kind of based on the status of something else in the world. And what I mean is, like when you were talking about bulimia and going into treatment, in that era of your life, you were only thinking about being good enough based on how well you did at work.
It was right? All externally
right.
driven.
Mm-hmm. And so you kind of lost your connection with self because you were so focused on work and achieving that you thought that everything was all good because your work was all good. And then I think a lot in relationships, sometimes, especially in codependent relationships, so much of your mental energy, and it's almost too like your, like the scale with which we view our lives and how we judge our lives gets warped, because I think we think, okay, if I'm maintaining this relationship and the relationship is good today, then everything is good. And so in dysfunctional relationships, we often try to strive just every day to make the relationship okay. So we're like, the relationship's good, I'm good. And I think that's how we start to lose sight of, I'm just focused on maintaining this relationship and I've lost sight of everything else. And of course, and so many other different aspects of our lives. And so it seems like this dynamic can take place when we prioritize or think something else is better or more worthy than ourselves or the relationship that we have with ourselves. And I guess, would you say that losing yourself stems from not really truly believing in your own self-worth and loving yourself?
That's a very good question. And I think even you saying again, and we've been talking about this now for the past 30 minutes or however long it's been.
Yep.
Even you say again, losing yourself, I bet so many people listening to this episode right now, it's hard to even comprehend. What does that mean to lose yourself? It's kind of an interesting thing to say. And that's why this is such a profound conversation that we could have for hours. And so what I want to say about it again, maybe in another way, in another form, that was striking me when you were talking here, Michelle, is that how do we relate to ourselves? How do we relate to our experiences? How do we judge ourselves? How do we compare ourselves? How do we relate to ourselves? And what I want to say, why you and I focus so much on loving ourselves, being compassionate, holding ourselves with grace, because we are being assaulted every single day by the news, by advertisements, telling us what we should think, telling us what we should buy, telling us what we should care about, telling us who we're supposed to be, telling us what's right, telling us what's wrong. And now we're in an age of the social media and all of that. So it is a 24/7 of assault, I think. And I'm not blaming. Right. I'm not passing blame. And I'm not saying, I'm the victim here, because we are. But we just have to recognize that so that when we're so hard on ourselves, what are we trying to compare ourselves against? The news media? The advertisements? Other people telling us what we should think and what we should care about and who we are? So I think there has to be something that happens to us along the way that says enough, enough. I'm going to take a pause here and I'm going to try to figure out and start paying more attention to the things that I think that are important and even start to understand what do I think is important and start to looking at, I guess, being still enough to know what needs my attention here in this moment. Like, what is it that matters to me most in this moment? And start looking at what do I need? The moment we start to say, what do I need? The moment I said, Barb, what do you need in this moment right now? Whenever I say that to myself, when I take that pause, I ask myself, Barb, what do you need in this moment right now? Just saying that is becoming my own best friend, is becoming my greatest and biggest advocate. You know, we talk about our health and in the medical field becoming, we need to be an advocate for our health. Mm-hmm. We need to be an advocate when we walk into a doctor's office. We need to be our own advocate. We need to be our own advocate all the time. So how can we actually start to permeate that throughout our whole life? How can I start freeing my mind a little bit of what's being diluted by the external world and start little by little, by little, by little, start coming into myself? What do I need here? And start actually directing my attention to what I think is important, to how I feel. And we're never talking about this in an arrogant, egotistical way. We're not. We're talking about not at the expense of other people and not at the harm of other people. We're talking about stopping the harm that we're doing to ourselves and starting to prioritize our own basic needs and welfare and thoughts about what we think about ourselves. And so I like to call these things, I came up with this during the pandemic as I was doing so much journaling. Thank you, Michelle, for always teaching me the whole journaling method. But one of the things that I just wrote down or thinking is, these are all skills that I've been learning for the past 67 years. So at least the 40 years that I've been in treatment, these are all skills that are helping me on the streets of life. Like, these are helping me become my most important teacher. These are helping me develop a relationship with my life. Not just a relationship with myself, but what is my relationship with my life? Like, do I like the life that I'm living, or what is happening in the life that I'm living? How am I feeling about what is my relationship with my life? And how can I start to actually aspire and pay a little bit more attention to becoming a very wise and compassionate friend to myself along my journey in the streets of life? If that makes any sense, because we live in the external world.
Of course.
I'm not saying we have to abandon the external world, but I believe that the internal world and how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and how I judge myself, and when I use the word judge, oftentimes it's so harsh, is living these moments on the streets of life. So we have to be on the streets of life, but we have to actually also believe that the inner life is as real as the streets of the external life. So I've started to think of my streets of life on the inside as well. Like, how am I actually experiencing my life? What do I think about the experiences that I have in my life?
Well, it sounds like the first piece of this is to actually give yourself permission to value yourself and have that relationship with yourself and to put yourself first in this way. To actually let yourself and feel comfortable with checking in with yourself and prioritizing your own needs and wants and values, and not, I think so many of us have been ingrained with, you know, the whole notion that self-care is selfish, or, you know, prioritizing my own mental health is self, you know, there's still so much of that. And
I don't have time to do it. I'm busy with all the things that I have to do in my life.
And especially with family and careers, so many of us place the well-being of the unit or the company or the family over our own well-being, and don't even think that we're worthy of the time and space and energy of checking in with ourselves because we're so focused on making sure everything is okay in the external world. And so it's like, give yourself the permission to be your friend and to have space for yourself and to check in with yourself and to ask yourself the important questions like, how am I doing living this life? How does it feel to be in my life and doing the things that I'm doing? And to also be brave enough to sit with the feelings that come up, especially if when you're asking yourself those questions, the answer isn't necessarily pleasant or what you think that you want. Because then, of course, that leads to changes and things like that. But it seems like starting from the jump or giving yourself that permission to become your own best friend as the foundation can maybe keep us from suffering so long in disconnect from ourselves.
Yeah. So I, you know, Michelle, this is such a, I'm loving this conversation so much because what I would have to say right now to everyone listening, if this, any of this resonates for you, the first step, first of all, it's taking your time. This is a long, arduous, lifelong journey, and it is well worth it. It is not something that happens overnight. It is something that little by little by little, so you have to be in it for the long haul. You see the benefits right away. You get the little heart that kind of gets warmed inside when you give yourself the space, even if it's just for a moment, to ask yourself, how am I feeling right now? Mm-hmm. You know, that nothing is more comforting when you actually sit down for 1 minute and just say, how are you feeling right now, Barb? And oftentimes during that process of this divorce, I would cry right away. I feel like crying and I would just allow myself to cry. And sometimes that was it. I didn't sit there for hours. I didn't sit there for minutes. I didn't sit there for days because I think we have to be, that's what the gentleness and the compassion is all about. This is not a process where you sit down and feel your feelings and then you keep falling apart until you're able to get the courage to stand back up again. I don't believe that in the slightest. What I believe is little by little by little, you ask yourself, how are you feeling right now? And if it's sadness, allow yourself to cry. And I would say to myself, okay, let me go do the thing that I have to do right now. Let me go, you know, when you were little, let me go pick my daughter up from school. Let me go make dinner for myself, or let me go do this for myself. Just really having that gentleness of it. You know, we talk about this a lot too. It takes what it takes. And so we have to be in it for the long haul and allow ourselves the time. Had I pushed, there were times when I was pushing myself. I mean, how long am I going to do this? I separated in 2019. When is this actually going to come to an end? When am I going to actually get my act together? Those are some of the thoughts that I had.
Right.
And it would overwhelm me sometimes, but I had my own little practice where it was, I'm overwhelmed. Let me just stop. So I think the greatest gift that you can give yourself is to give yourself a minute. Just start with a minute. That is where to start. Just start with a minute. If you are feeling any of the things that we've talked about in this episode so far, just give yourself a minute that I'm going to begin the lifelong journey of becoming my biggest advocate. I'm going to begin the lifelong journey of becoming my greatest friend or best friend. I'm going to step into this lifelong journey of having love and compassion for myself. And then that's enough. Then get up and go do the dishes. Mm-hmm. Get up and go make the phone call that you have to make for work. Get up and go to the grocery store. Like, that's it. It's just those little tiny little seedlings, those little tiny seeds that you're planting in your life. They're extraordinary. They are extraordinary. Those are the little seeds that you plant little by little. And thinking that that's not going to make a difference, it's going to make a huge difference. I promise you. Even if you just did that for a minute or two every single day, once a day, it has the power to transform your life. Mm-hmm. One day you'll wake up, because this is how I feel, and I know this is a leap because it was 2019 to 2024 where I am right now today if I look at the present moment. I wake up almost every morning saying, Well, I do wake up every morning saying thank you for the gift of this new day. And sometimes it's just my practice, but sometimes it's I'm overwhelmed with like, wow, really, thank you. I am so grateful to be alive and I'm so grateful to be me. And that I'm not saying that I don't think I actually had anything to do with that being the outcome of all of this work, but I do have everything to do with actually just showing up for my life in the practice. Showing up and giving myself the 1 minute to feel my feelings, to not push them away, to not pretend like they're not there, to not advocate for, just suck it up, Barb. And it has made all the difference in the world. You know, there's that Jane Goodall quote, what you think you can do may seem too small to matter, but it matters greatly that you do it. And then she's saying this in the, all in the context of helping the world. Mm-hmm. And I also say that in the context of helping myself. What I think may be too small to matter, matters greatly that I do it. Because it's that little stuff. It's those little tiny steps that we take that all woven together. That's the tapestry of our lives. All those little weavings, all that 1 minute here today, 1 minute maybe here tonight, all those little weavings become the tapestry of our life, where we actually can look at our lives with all the trauma, with all the dysfunction, with all of the chaos, with all of the heartache, with all of the suffering that I have endured in my time here in this lifetime. I actually can sit down and say to myself, your life is a work of art, Barb. It's actually a work of art. It's been a lot of pain and suffering. It's been a lot of joy and happiness. It's a work of art. It is my work of art. And I don't think that we actually make that happen. I think we assume the stance of least resistance in life that allows that to happen. So I think if we get out of the notion that we have to make this happen, we have to be this certain person in order for these things to happen, and just assume the stance of becoming your biggest advocate, assume the stance of becoming your own best friend, assume the stance of I'm going to allow myself to feel this feeling, but I'm not going to make myself get through the whole thing today so that I can get on with life. Allowing life to take what it takes to bring you to a place of, wow, I am paying so much more attention to what actually is happening in my life and how I'm feeling about it and how I'm experiencing it about and how I'm experiencing it than I ever thought was possible. I would not have asked for this. I would not have chosen if someone gave me a list of all the things that I would choose of the life, would I have chosen some of the suffering that I feel like I've endured, some of the trauma and some of the massive healing that I've been going through? No, I might not have chosen all of that. But I've taken what life has given me, all of the heartache, all of the ups and downs, and know that I can do this 1 minute at a time. And of course, the AA beautiful idea that we could live 1 day at a time. And sometimes we can't even live 1 day. Sometimes we just need to live 1 minute and be grateful for that 1 minute that we sat down and honored ourselves by feeling our feelings. And I think what I'll end with this just for now. I think what I'm trying to say is the more we can be in the present moment, the more the magic happens.
Yeah.
Or the more the transformation starts to happen little by little by little. When we're in the past too much and we're in the future too much, we know when we are. And so we break that cycle of being in the past or the future too much by bringing ourselves to the moment and saying, Barb, what do you need in this moment? Sit down for 1 minute. We all can sit down for 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
So stop thinking that you have to sit down for 20. Stop thinking that you have to abandon your families and abandon your life in order to find yourself. No, right. You don't abandon everyone around you. You just stop abandoning yourself and include you into the love and the compassion and the care that you give everyone else.
That's so good. And I loved that metaphor of everything that's happening is like the tapestry of your life. And if you think about it in that way, you know, you can't pull out a thread just because you think it doesn't look good. Because if you pull out a thread in a whole tapestry, then the whole thing is going to fall apart.
Love that.
And so I'm wondering if maybe one of the issues with this concept of being upset about losing yourself or in the process of losing yourself or disconnecting from yourself is maybe we shouldn't even call it that, because we're always here with ourselves. And it's, even if we have gone through chapters where we feel disconnected, it's still brought us to this point. And so it's kind of like, how can we start to love our journey regardless of what's happened, because it's brought us to where we are in this moment, and just remember to prioritize that daily care and love and connection that you were just talking about, regardless of what's going on in the rest of our lives. And how can we start to give ourselves the permission to do so and not have any judgment about it?
Yeah, because we're not going to like every moment. I mean, that's why we want to live in the past, sometimes in the future, because we don't like what's happening in the present moment. But we don't have any control over what's happening in the present moment. And that's why I say it's kind of sounds maybe a little cliche, just go with it. And I don't mean, it's, you know, it is so hard to give words to the kind of transformation that we're talking about right now. It's so hard to give the words, because it's so much in the feeling. It's so much in the living of the life experience. It's so much, no, I wouldn't ask for trauma and abuse and all of the things. So it's so hard to give words to. I don't think that the things in my life have been blessings. I think my life is a blessing of what all I have been able to transform as a result of being me. And so I think it's really important to understand that. We're not saying that all the bad and terrible things that happen are blessings, and that, oh my gosh, we just take it and we transform it, and isn't this amazing? All of the things that happen that we're able to work our ways through, and that we're able to give the attention to what is needed, is what makes us more and more and more love and accept and trust ourselves completely, knowing who we are and what we're made of. And so what I think you're right, Michelle, saying that losing ourselves, it's, I don't know what the right words are, but I also know this, that we're really easy when we talk about these things sometimes, Michelle, when we're doing workshops, we'll always get almost always get the question, well, are you asking me to abandon my family or asking me to abandon my, and no. But do you see how we so easily can know when we're abandoning other people? Or maybe when we've read something, or maybe society, or maybe a workshop that we're giving, people interpret that we're saying to abandon everyone else in your life and put yourself first and that's it. Wouldn't it be fascinating? So just go to bed thinking about this, or wake up in the morning and just for a minute, what does it look like to not abandon me? What does it look like to love my family and my life so completely that I'm included in it? Like, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And really just let that be a 6-month journey. Literally. Imagine if that were your journey, if that were your practice, or if that was something that you wanted to get an answer to in your life, could you imagine at the end of 6 months where you might be? I'm having goosebumps right now. It could be the most extraordinary 6 months of your life. Just allowing yourself to ask that question, what would it look like?
Right, because caring for yourself isn't exclusive. It's just an and.
Yes.
You're not excluding the rest of your family or job or your other relationships. You're just adding yourself into the equation.
No, and you're not going to feel anymore like you're at the mercy of the outside world. You're not going to feel any of these, because you're going to be little by little by little including yourself. You're going to be really doing that journey or that discovery. Or like, as I said earlier, what is my relationship to my own life? So what would it look like when you say so often, Michelle, and I love it so much, what does it look like to be my own best friend? So what would it look like what does it look like now today if your best friend came to you and said they're suffering and they're feeling so much pain and they're sad and this happened and this happened? What would you do? You would probably take their hand, or you would give them a big hug and say, I'm so sorry, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I'm here for you. I want to help you in this journey. I'm here for you. I have your back, for someone that you love dearly. So it's almost like, what has to happen for you to have those same feelings for yourself? And it's not an overnight thing. I can't stress that enough. It takes what it takes. It took me 2019 to 2024 to get to where Barbara is right now today. And so it takes what it takes. And so I think having that affirmation that this is a really difficult, arduous journey, because life is difficult, but what a worthwhile journey this is. It is the most important thing that I can do in my life. because how that influences the rest of the people in your family, the rest of the people in your inner circle, the rest of the people in life, and how it influences humanity is a byproduct of how you're actually influencing yourself and feeling about yourself. It's like that's the icing on the cake. All of the people that you're interacting with can feel the deep love and connection and joy that you have about yourself, no matter what is happening in the outside world.
I love that.
But it doesn't mean I'm not going to be sad and have pain and suffering. I don't want anyone to think, I'm going to transcend suffering. We don't transcend suffering, I don't believe. Everything I say is my own experience. Everything Michelle talks about is her own experience. That's what this podcast is all about. It is our own life experience. Mm-hmm. And so I believe from my own life experiences that suffering is part of life. And I am going to suffer from time to time. Now that I feel like I've been through this healing piece, we're never healed. I don't feel like I'm ever healed. There's going to be all kinds of other things that happen along the way in the next however many years I have left. But I don't have to compound the suffering. I don't have to add to the suffering by comparing myself, trying to fix myself, trying to judge myself, doing all those things that we do to ourselves and beating ourselves up, thinking that everything that happens to us and everything that we've done and what other people say has the power to name who we are. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not really necessarily about losing yourself, but just remembering that, like, with each chapter or part of your life, it's just more about the becoming of who you are. And sometimes there's chapters where they're longer and maybe it takes longer to chip away at a piece of that, but it's not that you've lost something, but you're like gaining something more for yourself.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to cry. That is so beautifully said, Michelle. That is exactly it. We're not losing ourselves. We're just gaining more of ourselves.
Or gaining more insights of who we are.
I mean, life is about insight and learning and becoming and growing. We're never going to stop that. I never want to stop learning and becoming and growing and having the insights.
Because we're always changing too.
Yes.
What works for you now maybe wouldn't work for you back then, and the same for the future. But in the moment, this is the barb.
There's a beauty about the fact that life is impermanent. And I know that's kind of a weird thing maybe to say, because we don't particularly want happy, good things to ever change. But it's trustworthy.
Yeah.
It's trustworthy. I know that if I know that the fun and the happiness or the joy or whatever isn't permanent, then I also then can know that the suffering and the sadness and the pain isn't permanent. So it's like, it's all the same. It's not all the same in how we feel, but it's all impermanent.
Yeah. And every moment is fleeting.
And so there is a trustworthiness about that. There is a little bit of I can take a deep breath. So I do know that. I do know that that's not going to change.
Yeah. It's a great truth of life.
It's a great truth of life. Beautiful, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you. What a great conversation.
I don't know if you have any takeaways or anything. I guess I would just say, if I were going to say something to anyone listening, just what I said before, you know, take a minute or two every day and even just saying to yourself, I'm going to become my biggest advocate is enough. It's enough every day. I am my biggest advocate, and life will show you ways that you can start to practice being your biggest advocate. Your best friend.
I think the reminder here is to be kind and gentle with yourself if you're going through this, and to give yourself the permission, like you said, Mom, to become your best friend, to consider yourself in the equation of everything else in your life, and to become your advocate for your own needs and wants and desires and wishes. And remember that life is a journey. And we have different chapters for different purposes, and there's ups and downs. And like you said, nothing stays the same. And so being present to what is and showing up for life, you know, in whatever chapter we might be in, and remembering to not abandon ourselves along the journey.
Yeah, make a huge effort. Maybe in the next few days, make a huge effort to acknowledge the beautiful and the fun and the confident times that you have in your life, if you were on a stage in front of 1,000 people, they would be handing you a trophy, you know, kind of that, like really honoring yourself. You have those moments, but we tend to just glide right over those moments, but we tend to dwell in the negative, difficult moments. Maybe start acknowledging, even if it's just for a moment, whoa, I really handled that really well. I'm proud of myself. I love myself.
Yeah, become your cheerleader.
Yes.
You deserve it. And you deserve it, Mom. I love it. Thanks for this conversation. That was really great. I can't wait to listen back to this.
Me too, actually. Thank you. And thank you all for being here. I love you so much.
Thank you all. Let us know your thoughts or questions about this topic and, you know, if this resonates with you or what pieces of it came up for you, because it is such a personal experience and we all do have unique experiences, but, you know, we're unique, but then we also share so much. And so we'd love to hear from you. And thank you for listening. And thank you, Mom. If you haven't yet, make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so they are always up to date on each new episode. If you're loving the show, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and Spotify and leave a review. It's super helpful for us and we greatly, greatly appreciate it when you do so. If you have questions or comments or podcast topic requests, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. Leave us a message. That's always the best way to stay in touch. Lastly, the link in our show notes is to sign up for our Substack with fun content, information, updates, news, all of the good things. So if you haven't yet signed up, make sure you take a moment to do so via the show notes. Thank you so much again for listening and being a part of the community. Thank you, Mom, for always sharing so many insights from your life. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.